Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
You're now listening to the Jillian Michaels Show.
Well, hello, Manus.
Hello, Jillian.
Today,
yeah,
my very good buddy,
I know,
my little bestie poo, Andrea Orbeck is here. Mm-hmm. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
See, now, Andy is here today because she's gotten herself knocked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, she has. She has. Mm-hmm. And while you might be thinking of all the different directions we could go, she has things she'd like to share. But let me put a caveat on this. Andy happens to be one of the foremost fitness experts in the business today. This bitch has a degree in this kind of stuff. It doesn't just go out and do lunges.
It does.
No. No, I went to school for this kind of thing. But that's not what we're here to talk about.
No.
And then, people, it's specialized in pregnancy fitness. Uh-huh. Yeah, an expert in the field. But I can't necessarily say that's what we're here to talk about because we have done segments with Andy on this before. Yeah. So Andy, you hit us up. You said you had things to share.
Mm-hmm.
And the floor is yours.
This is an exposé.
Uh-oh.
Well, were you drinking? What happened?
I don't know.
When I was 35, I went and saw a fertility specialist.
Yeah.
And I knew the cobwebs were starting to form in the uterus. And
sure.
He said, I'll do all this, do all that. Paid him a bazillion dollars. And he said, you won't get pregnant. You're infertile. So I went off about my way and never even thought twice about it. I never went on the pill. I mean, I practiced abstinence when it was dangerous, but not when it was just fun and trusting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. And so I felt
like...
Yes.
Like herpes?
Yeah, like just anything communicable. You don't want to, you know, you got to cover it up. But then if you're trusting and then you don't need to, I never did.
Sure.
And I went through 2 relationships since that news. Not one single, even iota and smidgen I knew. And so this last relationship with my beloved Tate just threw the dice, never used protection. And then what, 2 months ago? No, 4 months ago, I should say. I'm 4 months already.
Yeah.
4 months ago. Sorry. I felt terrible, sick, ill,
she
moody.
Got in a fist fight. I got in a fist fight
with a lady. I had her on the ground. I was choking her and restraining her.
Well, she was crazy. She was banana shorts.
This was before you found out you're pregnant. You just had this fits of violence.
I got this text from her, and she's like, I just got in a fist fight at the gas station. And I was like, awesome.
A lady accosted me, and she hit me in the head with her water bottle, and I punched her, and then I got her down. I straddled her, and Tate was outside going, honey, what are you paying for gas? What's taking so long? And he came in, and I was on top of her. Call 911! There was inside at that moment something was happening.
You knew something was
normally,
off.
I think you probably would have been like, this woman's crazy, called 911, but not that day.
Not
and
that
was
day.
Like, you bitch.
Yeah.
No.
I think it was the starting of the mama bear, the way you are with hormones.
Yeah. For
and
sure.
So felt gross, felt tired, was losing a lot of weight. I thought it was thyroid for sure. My age, I'm 42 and I'm 4 months pregnant. Anyway. That's part of the confession.
It's the new thing, though.
It is the new thing, dude, but on fertility drugs. So, like, I actually have another really close friend who's been one of my oldest friends for, like, you met Jen. Remember when we were in New York?
Yep.
Ages ago, the first time you and I met.
Yep.
And one of my oldest friends, she used to work with me at ICM, and she had her first kid, and it was kind of a crazy story, and they had been on fertility drugs and all this stuff, and she gave up and was in the middle of a gallbladder surgery and ended up being pregnant. Mm-hmm. And then they did fertility drugs. They got one egg. One. And the doctor was like, look, kid, we're going to roll the dice and see what happens. And she's also, like, 42, pregnant right now. It's crazy. She's, like, a month behind Andy. But normally this isn't happening without a lot of fertility drugs.
In my area of specificity, we say to women, like, fit fertility means doing everything you can, but it is so challenging. The statistics are so challenging out there, which is why I never worried. As the years went by and the tumbleweeds and the cobwebs started to form, I didn't trip out. I knew that I was not going to get pregnant. We have an 8-year-old son from Tate's first relationship, so that was my little family. And so I never thought twice about it at all. They told me I would never get pregnant without fertility.
Now, if you go backwards, I'm not going to take you back too far, but if you go backwards from 4 months, did you do it like reverse cowgirl or something different?
Yeah. Was there something different
about the sex that made it that you think maybe it?
Well,
you know what happened? I had those baby raccoons that I rescued, and I 2 weeks after we did the timeline.
Did you hear about this?
We did the timeline. We rescued. We were out on a motorcycle trip. Long story short, 12-week baby raccoons. Brought them back. No one would take them. Everyone was freaking out they'd get killed or wouldn't survive. No one would rehabilitate them. So we kept them for like a month and a half. And you have to feed them, warm the bottle, treat them like infants. So they connected and imprinted to me. One crawled up my shirt and suckled, and I just left it there for like 2 seconds longer than Tate.
You know, on her armpit.
On my armpit. And
but
then
you started, that's what it was.
And so I think the eggs started dropping after that. Then we had our little farmhouse, and that I think that was it. It was just little things that can happen to you, I guess.
I also think, I got to tell you, but I've seen a lot of people try, and I look at them and I think to myself, God, I love you and I want you to have a kid, but not with that person.
Yeah.
I really do. I almost feel like, as crazy and spooky and silly and stupid as it sounds, there's absolutely no science behind it. I almost feel like either there's something unconscious in you or something in the universe protecting you from having kids with the wrong person.
Well, and that being true, in my situation, that's exactly what happened. There was no way. Had I been, well, forget it. Honestly, I don't even know whether it wouldn't have worked out.
And stress is such a major thing, too. Mm-hmm. Like, my mom told me, she was 25, and she told me, like, they tried for a year, her and my dad, and she could not get pregnant, and then they were like, forget it. Let's just enjoy ourselves. We're young. My dad had finally started to make a little bit of money, and then boom, knocked up. I think like the
and
stress.
And that's you.
Put,
that's when you came out.
Yeah, lucky her. Lucky.
Talk about rolling the dice.
Yeah, lucky Joanne doesn't get any luckier than that.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah. So now that you're knocked up.
Yeah.
Wow.
Has it been blissful?
Not blissful. Not at all. Here's what's sad about one's career. You go into the theory, and I think that I'm really smart, and I've worked with a lot of pregnancy, and I'm into fitness so deeply with my research and understanding. The minute you get knocked up, you might be one of those people that I've never talked about. So I go on TV, and I have posts on my social media saying, pregnancy fitness. Here are the five benefits, and here's all the great things you should do, and here's how it benefits you, and you don't need to lose your bum and legs and arms and dee-dee-dee. It's ridiculous. If you're one of those people that I am, you can't get out of bed. You don't care about a lunge. You would throat punch someone with a dry cracker. It's done. It's done. Everything I've ever said, for anyone who's ever been inspired by anything that I ever said, don't listen until you know.
Is this your disclaimer for your entire career?
This is my disclaimer. You know, I'm going to put an addendum from now on my pregnancy fitness DVD saying, if you're okay and you don't vomit and you can get out of bed, you might want to consider watching this for a month before you actually execute the movements. Because I haven't been physically active. I'm 4 months pregnant. I walk to the fridge. I go up and down my stairs.
Oh, you look great. You look great.
I feel okay, but I lost a lot of weight. I threw up. I have a litany of a list from now on. When I say, here's great things to do, here's what else you should expect.
Okay, I'm ready. Are we ready?
Yeah, you guys want the you guys want the more gross last?
No, we want you to just be you. But I think, let me just clarify, though. It's really interesting because I would like to give it a little bit of history. Because as Andy's friend, I definitely was like, what is going on? And there was definitely a little something before I knew she was pregnant. And I was like, she's not herself. She's not herself. Mm-hmm. She's not herself. And I was like, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm sensitive. She's not herself. And it was like, she just was kind of like a little bit sort of, not checked out, but like
withdrawn.
And I was like, this is not, you know, but all right. And I was like, maybe it's me, whatever. Then she was like, okay, you know, surprise. And I was somewhere, dude. I was out of town. Of course I was in Spain.
Yeah.
And that little bitch Heidi knew and held it from me. What a bitch.
That's...
So I thought I found out, and Heidi goes, yeah, I knew. I was like, you didn't tell me? And she's like, I wanted Angie to tell you. I'm like, I'm your primary concern, you ungrateful little minx.
No,
anyway, so I was like, oh my God, this all makes sense. So then, like, a little time went by, and I was like, okay. And it's like, we weren't seeing Andy, and I was like, should we do something? Do we need to run an intervention? And I was like, girl. And then I said, one of our other very close friends, and Andy's a closest friend for the longest time, Christy, I was like, I don't think we're ever going to see this woman again. I don't think we're going to see her again. And Christy was like, I haven't spoke to her. I'll reach out. I was like, we need to send somebody in. We've got to have an intervention. It's been like 3 months. Something's wrong. And so then, okay, go.
Yeah, I missed me too. I hadn't seen me either. It's unbelievable. I know that it's sweet, and I want to say I'm happy now and I'm excited now, but during those dark months, the first three trimesters, if you're one of those people that is afflicted, it's not a baby, it's a parasite. It takes away everything that is happy and joyful. Yeah. You don't feel good. You think you've had PMS in your life. You know nothing about the hormones of pregnancy. Things that I knew in theory but did not know in practicality, and it is unbelievable. Mm. You're so nauseous. It's like you have the flu and a hangover and stomach poison every day. And they call it morning sickness, but it's not restricted to morning. It's all day, every day. You don't eat for days, and you get a little bit of water and you take your prenatal, and your body invents foam. You can vomit foam. You can vomit foam.
I've seen my dog do
my
it.
My dog does it, yeah.
Yeah, you know, but in the middle of a conversation, you can do it.
What?
Yes, you can be talking to somebody like, oh, wait. And just, it comes out. There's no control of your life. It's so sad.
But to go along with the physical things, though.
Oh, my gosh.
You had to have been going through, like, a really severe, like, hey, I'm 42, I'm pregnant. What's this going to do to my life? Your emotions must have been... Don't you think?
Yeah, there's part of that. But if you know me, like Jill knows me, I'm affable. I'm really positive about everything. Things can happen, and I'm like, let's look on the bright side. And I have a dude, and he's great. I already had a kid. I love where I live. I love what I do. I had a lot of reason to be okay with it. And I'm a specialist, by the way. So it's not like I only deal with 20-year-olds. I deal with my own age demographic going through all that stuff. But the minute it happens to you, you're the exception to the rule. Well, it's unbelievable.
I think also, though, because here's the thing. Let me just preface by saying Andy is amazing with kids. And Heidi and I've watched her play, like, make-believe farm with my daughter at, like, 6 in the morning when she won't sleep. I'm just like, how do you do this? Like, and she's amazing with kids. And it's meant to be. You know what I mean? Like, sure. She was meant to be, meant to have a kid and meant to have her 8-year-old son, Jack. And so it's like, it's extremely fated. Like, there's definitely like a, there are just sometimes little beings like my friend Jen's kid that I'm like, oh, and I knew it was a girl right away. And Tate has two boys prior, one who's 16 and one who's 8. And I knew, and you know, you think he only shoots the Y sperms out. No, I was like, this is a girl, only a girl. Would be like, I'm coming, bitches. Get out of the way. I knew it. I was like, she's a girl. I know it. I have a little niece. And, like, it's – I think you couldn't be happier about having a baby. But I think it's, like, kind of – what we're my impression of what the goal here is to say, like, look, man, it's okay to say pregnancy sucks. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's worth it. But it's okay, and it's okay when you're not feeling – because Heidi didn't have that bad of a
birth. Nope.
She was, oh, my God, such a – not the nicest to me on occasion. And remember that time there was one time we were in the wine country and Heidi was the designated driver and she was about 5 months pregnant. It was my birthday and we were all just schnockered in the car, wasted. And Heidi just started screaming, shut up, shut up, you guys, shut up. And my friend Allison,
she was behind the wheel.
My friend Allison was like,
Whoa.
Yeah, I was like, I live with this.
No,
but there was none. So I think it's like, you know, it happens to some, but not everybody.
Right.
So, okay. So you could puke foam. Go on.
Constipation.
Yeah.
And now I've warned women about this. And so there's all these things that you recommend. Lots of hydration, you know, with the extra iron in your system because you're taking all these prenatal. These are the things you can do. No, nothing works. You know what happens? You just have a well space in your body that holds on to the things that they tell you help you go. You don't go.
Poopolotomus. That's what you're
You
learn.
Don't go.
No,
you
it
think,
doesn't go, poopolotomus.
You don't go.
Poopaminimus
with lots of Branimus.
Yeah, and still poopaminimus.
It's terrible. It's like every 4 or 5 days. Sometimes you're on day 7 and you no longer clock your weeks in pregnancy. You clock your days in pooping.
Yeah.
Oh, and it hurts when it's that old.
It really hurts.
Yeah. No, I had some issues that sometimes it hurts.
When you were pregnant?
No, when you got...
When you have to pass
When you got to pass a brick.
I thought you had the Immaculate Conception. I was like, really?
You never know.
What do we need to know about? Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Okay, go
on. Okay, so the constipation.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
Your self-care. There's none.
Are you a dirty girl now?
Well, I mean, I don't...
You were a little stinky for a moment then.
For a moment. And your body doesn't smell great anyway because you're taking massive amounts of prenatal vitamins when you can get them down in the intervals of throwing them up. So then if you throw it up, you got to take it again. And so you have to do all these things. And your pee smells. And then when you're not
like
pooping.
Asparagus?
Kind of.
Yeah.
If asparagus ate asparagus, you know.
Oh, no.
You know.
It's, mother,
that's what it
God.
Is.
Yeah,
and so
you.
Then your
I
body
would
decides
rather crap nails and throw up battery acid than have pee that smells like asparagus. Isn't ate asparagus. I am so sorry.
Thank
I
you.
I didn't know it was that bad.
It is, and then
oh,
but then
man.
But then you fart along with that too. That I really wasn't much of a farter,
no.
But now you do because there's all this stuff in you. You're eating the things to try and go, but you don't go. So there's methane. So you have that scenario, too. So sometimes you sit on the potty and you can't believe the sounds you make.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember with Heidi when she'd be sleeping.
Oh,
and
no.
Poor thing, it was like everything it had stored up from the day. And it would point at her little butt and the snoring. Have you had that?
I've started to snore and
I
breathe through my mouth.
Videos of her snoring. Have you seen these?
No, but Tate said he was going to do the first
one
last
one
night, but
you.
I laid on my side just in time, so you'll have to collaborate.
Oh, yeah,
he's
no,
waiting.
I'll find it. We'll play it for you at the end of this segment. Go on.
Yeah.
Go on. I have it on my computer. It's remarkable. It literally sounds like you're dragging something behind a bus. Like, it's incredible.
It's unbelievable. And the how...
Yeah.
No, every orifice becomes an instrument, and you can't believe that it's happening to you because you never did it before, and it's like... Before and after, and now I'm after, and it's unbelievable. I breathe through my mouth, and I wake up, and it's like a parrot tongue in the middle of the night. I used to be sexy Janice. Oh, and let's talk about the stigma.
So sorry.
Stigma of older pregnancy. You know what I'm called? Okay, I'm healthy, and I'm fit, and I'm a specialist. I'm considered a high risk geriatric pregnancy. They call it, yes, they call it geriatric.
Over what age?
Over what age?
After 35.
You're
oh
not
my
kidding.
Gosh. Mm.
And so
every time
I go to the doctor.
Imagine if you got pregnant, it would be
oh
a dinosaur
God.
Pregnancy.
Octogenarian. They say octogenarian pregnancy.
Yeah.
It's so pejorative. And they also will say to you, well, you know, it's got to be a categorization just so we know you're high risk. And then I'll say, well, what should I do in regards to the high risk? Well, nothing. No, you're perfectly healthy. We just have to categorize you that. I was like, well, there's no room for any kind of wiggle room. And they're like, no.
That's a dangerous game to play, by the way. I have a whole segment that I saved up about how when people treat you a certain way, you end up becoming it. So like there was a study with kids. They took 50 random kids. Put them in a classroom with teachers and said, these 10 kids are the geniuses in the room. None of it was true. But the teachers thought these kids were geniuses and thereby treated them as geniuses. And by the end of the year, their test scores went up tremendously. So like when you tell somebody, oh, you're a high-risk geriatric, they go, oh, my God, I'm a high-risk geriatric. And like the power of the mind and the power of the way people treat you has a huge – this is a big
– For sure.
Well, we might
I joined AARP.
This.
Jill's right. They kind of treat you accordingly, and then you start to act accordingly a little bit. It's such a weird psychological thing. Yeah, and so it's embarrassing because even the prenatal vitamins say older mom. There's this one. It's called Rainbow something, and they have it at Whole Foods. It's a high-end food-based. You know, it's one of the highest ends according to research, blah, blah. Yeah, and it will say old. It says older adult. Prenatal vitamin.
Wow, and this isn't a comment we're making on ageism. This is just a comment on that you put the two together. It ain't right.
They don't seem to match. You know, I always feel like I call and say I'm scheduling my ultrasound.
Wow, that's fascinating to me.
Takes me a while to get up to level 3.
Oh, God. Is that all?
No.
Oh!
One last one.
Yeah.
Fatigue.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's like taking an Ambien and having to fight it all day. So I started resorting to having a blanket and a pillow. And in between clients, if I didn't vomit at their house, I'd be napping in their dryer. And I'd pull around the corner and I'd crawl in the back seat and I would have to pass out for at least 20 minutes before I could get in my car and drive again. I'm past all that now, but you don't think you're ever going to get out of it. And you are so tired. I fell off the grid. You're so tired. You drag your feet.
You're lucky you didn't get arrested. They're thinking that you were drunk in the back.
There was one time, Andy, I was like, look, I don't know if you're going to want to do this, but we're having dinner with a couple of mutual friends, and I was like, you know, do you want to come? And she's like, no, we have a little party for Tate's friend, blah, 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 but we could meet after for drinks. I was like, please. I don't even think you're going to make it to the party. We're not going to meet after for you to have a soda water with lime. But I was like, girl, you're not going to make it. You're not.
Wow.
And she knew me better than I knew myself.
Well, we enjoy watching you struggle, too, to try to be normal. Like, it's so cute. Like, she'll kind of like she'll be like, I am going to have, I'm going to order myself a little mimosa. I'm like, okay, girl. Because, you know, it's like you have to drink copious amounts of alcohol. It always says like you can have a glass of wine here, there, whatever. Yeah. And we were like, okay, girl, good for you. And then it gets about halfway through it and it's like, I'm like, all right, Precious, how do you feel? And then it will send me something and it's like, I'm going to have a rager. I'm going to pump for 2 days when this baby's out. We're going to party because she's getting married. I was like, we need to, like, I had a bachelorette planned. You're ruining this for me. And by the way, the point of this is not to scare anybody. But it is about opening up a dialogue and just saying, you know, look, it's okay to feel this way. It's okay to say it's not blissful. And I remember once, I brought this up before on the show, but it was one of the most insane things that had impacted my career. And I was asked in an interview why I wasn't going to physically have kids. And I just thought about it, and it was a combination of things, because I had known I had PCOS and endometriosis, and I was like, ugh, I thought, oh, the hormones and the this and the that, and I just always was like, I don't want to go through that. And I had heard stories about pregnancy that kind of scared me, mm-hmm. and I was like, you know, and the fertility and all, drugs and all that, and I just was like, you know, I don't know that I can handle it. I don't know that I can handle it. I was like, it kind of, you know, she of course cut out the part where I was like, it scares me, which could have been for the better, to be honest with you.
Sure.
But I, oh my God, it turned into, of course, Jillian Michaels says pregnancy ruins a body, which the Huffington Post specializes in inferring what you meant.
Yeah.
Jillian Michaels thinks pregnancy ruins a body. So then everyone goes, oh my God, she said pregnancy ruins a body. But I think what happened was it really touched a chord for women that are afraid. Because it's, oh, come on, it's scary. If you're not scared, I'm so proud of you. And maybe you've had a kid and you're like, no, this is no problem. And by the way, gazillions of women do this. Obviously, there's 7 billion people on the planet, so billions upon billions of women do this throughout history. Mm-hmm. But it's still scary, especially when you go, oh my God, I might be so nauseous for the next 3 months, or I'm scared of the labor or the delivery, or I'm scared. I think it's fine to say it's scary. Stuff is scary in life. It's also, by the way, scary when you're, you know, you're opening your own business, when you're asking somebody out that you like. Life is scary. Getting yeah. anything good is scary. And I think it's okay to say it's scary. But the bottom line is you're going to come through it. It's going to be unbelievably worth it. And for me, you know, I wanted to adopt. It just, I also kind of had that in the back of my mind. It was like, if I'm going to go down this path, I think that there's, I just felt like there was something out there for me. Clearly, I was Lou Ball. And so I just think the whole idea here is to just kind of say, it's okay to feel the way you're feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. What I wanted to avoid now that I've experienced it firsthand is mm-hmm. it's changed my voice, and it's going to be, I know it's going to be a better advocacy for me moving forward. If I was to write a book, sure. I would no longer go chapter 1 through 9 to reflect every month of pregnancy, the bliss and all that. No, no, no. I'm going to literally address to women that say, you haven't pooped. You don't want to have sex. You fart. Oh. You don't feel sexy. There's all these things that you now neglect and abandon that you once ideally thought were going to be glowing and blissful and blooming. They don't happen for some women, and that's okay, and here's what you should do. And you know what it's probably going to be? Do nothing. Do nothing. Yeah. I have no advice for people. There was nothing that would comfort me. I was sick. I needed to be left alone.
You got
to
ride it through.
It passes. And that's the good news, that yeah. it passes, and there's comfort in that. But there's some people that's who it affects, and that's, you know, you got to be a voice for those people because they just feel...
I know. Sure. And then I think they wonder what's wrong with them. And then I think they feel guilty because they're like, why is this not blissful for me?
Yeah.
So I think if we were to put a message in this too, is A, be careful what you ask for when you rescue 2 raccoons.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because that's kind of where this whole thing.
Yeah.
Where the hormones, something.
Women are all over the world are going to be looking for wild
raccoons
now.
To rescue if they're having
Instead
trouble getting pregnant.
Yeah, your maternal juices. You don't always need in vitro. You just need to
just find
hug a baby animal.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, I found it.
What? Oh!
As promised.
Okay.
This is the video I took of Heidi while she snored in her sleep.
Sounds like a bear hibernating.
Yeah. I had to live with this.
That's
for 10 months. I didn't sleep.
That's little, tiny Heidi.
Listen to that.
You must have been peeing yourself recording this.
I peed myself recording it the first 2 times. And by honestly... dude, like a month in, I was like, stop it! I was putting breathe right strips on her nose. Poor thing. Yeah.
Man. And Andrea, that's just starting for you now?
I don't know.
Ask Tate.
Yeah, you'd have to ask Tate. He said he tried to record me last night, but then I turned over and it stopped. So I know it's obviously got some kind of volume for him to want to record it.
It's awesome. It shook the bed.
Okay. Yeah. So now wait, we got Nikki waiting on the line. Hey, Nikki, you there?
Yes.
All right. Well, here she is. Jillian,
hey.
This is Nikki.
Hey, Nikki, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. So Janice kind of informed me that this is a question relating to pregnancy, pregnancy fitness, pregnancy health. And my closest friend, Andrea Orbeck, is here today. And she is a fitness expert, but she also specializes in pregnancy fitness. And she is going to be helping me out with your question today.
Awesome.
So, Nikki, Andy, Nikki.
Hi, Nikki.
Hi.
So, buddy, go for it. Let us know what's going on.
Okay. Well, I started following you and everything after I got pregnant with my first son.
Aww.
And I killed Ripton 30. and got back in shape and no problem.
Oh my gosh, good for you.
Thanks. And so much so that I ended up getting pregnant again. So here I am now after the baby, 3 months, and I want to get back in shape, but I'm also breastfeeding, and I just want to make sure that I'm getting enough calories to keep my milk supply up, but still want to be able to lose the weight healthy.
So, Nikki, it's Andrea speaking. Here's what I kind of feel about what I call the fourth trimester, which I think you're in right now. Your mm-hmm. hormones haven't changed, which is enabling you to lactate. So the hard part is that if you eat too little, you stop lactating. If you are eating too much to, you know, justify all the hormones in your system, you stay kind of fuller from the pregnancy. So the key is to kind of consider yourself, in my opinion, kind of out of season, like a fitness competitor or a bodybuilder. You're still training. It's just you're not dieting down around the muscle quite yet. So keep your conditioning. Work out, feel good. And remember, right now, you're wearing a hat that's a new mom. And so you've worn a sexy body hat and you'll get back there. It just might be slower if you're choosing to be able to breastfeed over looking in the mirror. So it's a personal mm-hmm. decision. You can get really lean really fast. You just have to realize it's going to affect your breastfeeding. So you got to kind of know which one you want to prioritize. And for me, you'll always get your body back. This is your opportunity right. to breastfeed. So I would choose that. That's what I plan on doing. Even if it means this extra 10 pounds, it's going to wait 4 or 5 extra months. I'm willing to do it because then I know I can get ripped really quick once the, you know, hormones change and the milk dries right. up.
And it's kind of interesting, Andy. Could you clear this up? Because, you know, they'll say, oh, you want to lose weight really quick? Breastfeed. And yet it's kind of like, yeah, you'll get down to about maybe 10 pounds of fat, which this is my experience. And mm-hmm. there was somebody that I was helping get back in shape after she had a baby. I was helping Pink get back in shape with someone else. You know, there came a point where she's like, it's not coming off. And I was like, but honey, you're breastfeeding. Like, your body can't go below that. So it's kind of odd. It's like they'll say, no, you lose a ton of weight while you breastfeed. Oh, but you're breastfeeding, but you can't lose. Can you explain that, Andy?
I just feel like with the hormones, your progesterone and your estrogen still are out of whack when you're breastfeeding. It's the maternal component that keeps you lactating. So you're going to gain the necessary pregnancy weight, the maternal body fat, they call it, that you're going to lose after you have the baby. But you're still producing the hormones to justify the lactation, which also requires a little bit of maternal body fat storage, as well as you need to eat because you're still kind of a milk pumping machine. So there's always going to be those variables that's going to prevent you. Now there's the rare odd girl, not even Heidi Klum, in working with her through all of her pregnancies, she was able to sustain a certain calorie and activity count without it being affected by her breast milk. So they work hand in hand, and it's just a matter of choice. There's just no way you're going to get super ripped and lean if you're still breastfeeding. There's exceptions to the rule, but it's not the norm, and it's a decision. You know, you have to defend under the, you know, desire to be a mom that breastfeeds.
Yeah, and it's exactly what Andy said, honey. Like, you'll get there. Like, mm-hmm. I think there's so much pressure put upon women that they have to be back in shape tomorrow. And then, you know, you'll see people in the public eye that are like, look at me. Yeah. It's like I didn't even have a baby.
Yeah.
Look at me. And it's kind of, I think, and it sends the wrong message, I think, to women at home going, why is this taking me so long?
Yeah.
And it's like, give yourself time. Like Andy said, it's going to get there. It's going to happen. Give yourself time. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like with Heidi, she just, unfortunately, her little body has a hard time keeping on weight, and it just came off, and she could not produce enough milk for yep. Phoenix. And it was a whole thing, and we had to supplement with formula, and she felt like a failure, and oh my gosh. And it's like, yeah. You know what? There's just so much stigma and pressure around this. Follow your heart, like Andy said. Do what you want to do, and your body's going to get back in shape when you're ready. When you're ready. When
and there's
the
time something
is right.
That's so true, Jill. And there's also something to be said about staying in condition. You might not look super lean, but if you're the type of girl who's training really hard while she's breastfeeding and you're eating the necessary good calories to keep your muscles really lean and strong, as soon as you stop breastfeeding, all that conditioning is going to pay off, and it's going to be like an investment in the bank. Your dividends are going to be really, really lean, really fast, much quicker than someone who just said, well, I'll wait. So,
right.
So keep the conditioning up. You sound like you want to be athletic, be athletic. The rest will just fall into place while you kill a lot of birds with one stone.
Okay, yeah, awesome.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And thank you, Jill, so much for all you do. It's really awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
You're awesome.
Yeah, you're welcome.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Thank you so much, cool. Buddy.
Thanks,
have a
Nikki.
Great day.
See
you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you all. Bye.
Nature Box. Check this out. Each month, you can get a box of delicious, better-for-you snacks delivered straight to your doorstep. Yeah, and if you join today, you'll get a free sample box of some of my most loved snacks. These snacks are the real deal. They are Jillian approved, which means no high fructose corn syrup, no hydrogenated oils, no artificial flavors or colors. Smarter snacks. Each snack faces strict quality standards, and they are all nutritionist approved. Nothing gets by them or me. So rather than grabbing something on the go, have your snacks with you. Travel with them, keep them in the car, keep them in your bag so that you have them before the gym, after the gym, at that crunch hour around 4 o'clock when you're craving that donut in the office kitchen. Do not do it. This month, my absolute favorite snack has been the lemon pucker pistachios. Delicious. So start your NatureBox membership today and get a free sample box with our most loved snacks. Just go to naturebox.com/Jillian to get started. Okay, there's actually a segment that I mentioned in the first part of the show that I really wanted to do. Andy, can you stay a little bit?
Yeah.
All right, so remember when I was talking about she was saying how they're like, oh, you're a geriatric, high-risk pregnancy. Yes. And she's like, well, I'm 42, I'm fit, and I'm a specialist. This is insane. Yep. I'm none of those things. Mm-hmm. And we brought up children that were treated like geniuses, even though they were normal kids, and their IQs and their test scores went up. So I wanted to mention this. It was an article that I read in Psychology Today, and it brings up a couple really interesting points. So this writer starts out, and she says, many of us would like to believe that our decision-making is based in logic and objectivity. But studies show, however, that our preferences are highly biased based on our expectations. So I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. So they took a white wine, okay? And they had a study. They took a white wine, and they, same white wine, poured two glasses, and in one of them, they colored the wine to look like red wine.
Oh,
and wow. They gave it to people, and they said, describe these two wines. And so, of course, with the white one, they were said, I smell citrus, I smell flower, I smell lemon, I smell honey, all of those things. Now, when they used red, they said clove, musk, crushed red fruit. When they tasted and smelled the red, same wine. It was the same wine.
But a completely opposite on the scale
yes,
of smell.
Because they said, well, it's red. So they automatically defaulted to what they think they know of red wine.
Yeah.
And then there was another one about wine and price point. So there was a wine that they said was $90, and there was a one that they said that was $5, and they swapped the more expensive wine with a less expensive wine, and they're like, can you taste? Oh, and they're like, oh, completely, I can taste the difference. This one is more full-bodied, and this one is clearly blah, 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 blah. And they had switched the $5 wine
for the
$90 wine. And the reason I wanted to bring this up is because, of course, and then there's the intelligence testing. So it's like, oh, you know, these children are more intelligent. Mm-hmm. Well, this is very dangerous for a number of reasons. One, because A, we're never experiencing the world autonomously, independently, or as it really is. And we've been seeing, I just think, when I see this, I think race. Mm-hmm. I think that people automatically, with everything that's going on in the media, default to their preconceived notions mm-hmm. about cultures, genders, stereotypes, which is so dangerous. And, you know, we're all guilty of it. We're all guilty of it. And it's like you get this idea of who police are or who black people are or who upper, you know, white class women that live in a certain part of town are. And we never look at, hey, people are individuals. It doesn't matter what label you're labeling. Like, I've met police that are absolutely incredible. And I've met police that, as we know, I've had a very hard time with and what have you. It's not because they're police. It's because of the person.
And, mm-hmm. you know, you'll meet people from all different ethnicities, backgrounds that are going to strike you differently. People are individuals, but what's so scary to me is the way we're approaching it. And then, in addition, what's really scary is that when something gets labeled, we take it on as if it was truth. So if someone tells you you're stupid, you grow up going, I'm stupid. I'm stupid. When in fact you might be brilliantly intelligent or, oh, I'm old now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even when I turned 40 this year, everybody was like, well, you know, I would get sick. And all of a sudden it wasn't just because I got sick. It was,
you're,
yeah, everything. Well, you know, you're 40 now. And I was like, wait a second. What if I just got sick, just like my five-year-old got sick? But it's very dangerous how you start to take these on. It can seriously affect the quality of your life, the quality of your decisions. And I kind of just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah. And well, so I experienced that exactly in through the medical system, going in there knowing that I'm a specialist. I know all the things that I need to know. I know the risks. I know the statistics. I know the signs.
Yeah.
But the minute they kind of continued, and they do continue every time I go in, they put on the top beside my name, high risk / geriatric maternity. And it's a weird thing to have to fight, because you start to then, if you have any doubts about their bias and what that means, you're willing to have this self-fulfilling prophecy to fulfill it. You might misread signs, misread symptoms, start to entertain those kinds of things. It casts doubt. It's a really weird, it's suggestology.
Yeah.
It's really, really weird.
Yeah.
I remember I read this quote once, and it said, like, it was something to the effect of, like, if you treat people like who they are meant to be, they will become it. But if you treat them, you know, X way, like, they'll go. And I just remember it related back to the Biggest Loser contestants for me when I was working on that show. And I thought, I'm going to treat you like the competent, capable person I know you are. Now run and shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Which is one of the problems I always had with sympathy. Because sympathy to me was, oh, you poor, fat, sweet, little, incapable thing. Just take the stairs. And by engaging in that kind of sympathy, to me, it was an agreement that they were weak or incapable. I was empathetic.
Yeah.
I get it. It's hard. It's not easy. Uh-huh. But I know you can do it. So do it. And I think that we need to really think about how we purchase things under this pretense, how we treat people under this pretense, how we behave ourselves and allow it to define who we think we are and what we think we're capable of by the way people perceive and treat us. And if I was to give takeaway on this, I would say before you make any major decision or form any major opinion, pause and listen to your gut.
Mm-hmm.
Because, Andy, you're going, wait a minute, I'm fit, I'm a professional, I'm healthy, I'm strong. Like, none of this rings true for me.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to fight it with every cell in your body to turn the tide and start convincing those other people, in fact, that that is not the case. You've got to beat that back and down with as much impressioning, so to speak, as they've put upon you. And I think also try to take everything. It's like the emperor and no clothes.
Right.
Oh, the clothes are amazing. Or the emperor's clothes, right? Oh, the clothes are amazing. And you're going, I think he's naked. But everyone's like, oh, something must be wrong with me. No, the clothes are incredible. Try to stop and say, I think it comes from insecurity. I think it comes from pretending like you don't know what a $90 wine tastes like. So you're like, oh, no, this is definitely the better one. I'm cultured and I'm in the know. Try to be really confident and secure in your own opinions and let your senses do the talking for real. Smell it, taste it, see it, think about it, feel it with your heart and your spirit and your mind, and then form an opinion on it.
But what if that belief is so ingrained, like, that you can't change it? What if you can't?
You can. It's a choice. It's a choice. I've started to notice prejudices throughout the court. We all have them throughout different times in my life popping up. And I was like, all right, I'm starting to notice this is becoming a thing for me. And I have formed an opinion based on stereotypes. And I would immediately say, I need to put myself around somebody who's X, Y, or Z. And, you know, allow myself to be influenced by an individual. Experience them as an individual, not all frat boys or date rapists. You know, I'm throwing out these sweeping generalizations, or not, you know,
whatever. I'm not saying that's my opinion. I'm just saying I've heard a lot of people talk about frats these days. And, like, there was an article in Rolling Stone that just presumed that this whole fraternity had raped this girl. And Rolling Stone didn't even check facts because they were like, no, frat, of course, date rape, absolutely huge problem. And it is. But it turns out that this girl was never even at their frat house that night. Not all frat boys and fraternities are date rapists.
Yeah, no,
right.
That's what I'm saying.
We have to consider the source, and then we have to learn to translate it versus what we feel we already know about ourselves and the world around us. If we're being told to act upon it a certain way, I'm noticing that with our son, Jack. It's crazy to help him translate whether he's being fed a bill of goods by society, by advertising, by commercials, for him to translate it. So now he's equipped and understands even something as benign as the cereal. He knows now that the cereals that have the cartoons on them that are full of sugar, he'll look at the label. And the reason why is because he understands the influence of advertising for kids. He now is equipped to know that's baloney. It doesn't mean it's good for me because I'm attracted to it. And he's learning to grow out of that bias. And I'm thinking that's really cool that he can now consider the source. It's harder on a global scale when it comes to race and stuff. But
oh, my gosh. There is something that I do want to address, and it's obviously very controversial, and I'm sure we're going to lose podcast listeners because of it, but I cannot let it go. It has haunted me. And, you know, we all know what's going on in the country right now with Eric Garner's death and Mike Brown's death, and, you know, this stuff goes on all the time. Mm-hmm. And the Mike Brown thing, I thought, you know, wait a second now. If I was that cop, and this giant kid who's 6'4", I think, you know, came in my car, punched me in the face. The kid's DNA was on the gun. They said the kid was running away. The kid was facing forward. The kid had a friend with him. Look, I mean, the cop had never been reprimanded. I just thought if I'd been punched in the face, the kid was bigger than me. I didn't have a taser. I had no backup. The kid had a friend. I would be terrified. I think he may have excessively used force. I don't know. I wasn't there, but I didn't stop and go, oh, it wasn't cut and dry at all in my mind. The Eric Garner thing, I thought, you know, there's more in the jury. The jury, you know, I'm sure there's evidence there. The Eric Garner thing I watched with my own eyes. Have you seen this video?
Mm-hmm, I have.
Have you seen it, Andy? Mm-hmm. And there's a guy, and he's standing on the sidewalk. Apparently, he has a history of getting arrested for selling loose cigarettes. So you buy a pack of cigarettes, and for people who can't afford
onesies,
a whole pack of
onesies,
loosies or whatever,
loosies,
yes, something like that. Yeah. You sell an individual cigarette, and he ends up making $6 profit. Why this is illegal, I don't know. Why we are paying our police to go after this when I'm pretty sure we have enough problems in the rest of the country that they could be focusing on, I don't know. Not a question I'm in a position to answer. But they keep arresting this guy. Anyway, he breaks up a fight on the street, and the cops detain him. And he's basically saying, like, I'm sick of you harassing me. Stop harassing me. I didn't do anything here. I didn't sell anything. Why are you guys always harassing me? I just broke up a fight. And then they're putting their hands on him. And he's like, please don't touch me. His hands are up. He's not running. He's not hitting anybody. Mm-hmm. He's not aggressive. He's not calling any names. And the next thing you know, four cops tackle him down to the ground. And they put him in... there's apparently a huge difference between a neck constraint and a chokehold. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, the guy's on the ground saying apparently 11 times, I cannot breathe. And one of the cops, this kept me up all night long. One of the cops is smashing this guy's face into the pavement. He's not struggling. He's not fighting back. He's just pleading for his life, saying, I cannot breathe. It's going to make me hysterical crying. And all I could think about is what is going through this guy's head right now as he's thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. And it never once occurs to them, like, maybe we should sit him up. Maybe we should stop. Maybe we should pause. There are four of us. He's not aggressive. Like, not once. And after he's unconscious for 7 minutes, no one tried to resuscitate him. And what upset me the most is that on my Facebook, I was like, I can't. We have to say something. We have to say something. It's not okay. And I didn't just say something, by the way. I donated to Eric Garner's widow and his family. And don't just think, oh, there are a lot of people who need help. I donate to a lot of people. That was one of the people that I donated to because I was like, I'm not just going to say something. I'm going to do something. And I made a donation. And if you're so inclined, the man has six children. and there are many funds. Google it. And I thought, and so I put it on my Facebook, and I just said, this really blew me away. And, you know, here's the video. Watch it for yourself. And if you're so inclined, wasn't telling people what to think, but if you're so inclined, you know, speak out. Oh, my. And the majority of the comments basically stated that he deserved it. And they were like, well, that's what you get when you resist arrest. And if he had just complied, and I thought, oh, you're judging this based on your own prejudices and your own biases, because he didn't resist arrest. He didn't. And he was saying, why are you harassing me? I didn't do anything. I didn't sell anything. I didn't do anything wrong. And I was so blown away by the comments about some people saying he deserved it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, if this was your father, if this was your husband, if this was, you know, your friend who was saying to the cops, I don't believe I deserve to be treated this way. You think before that he deserved to die? Like, I just, and this is where I think these preconceived notions start to become very, very, very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, I don't know. What did you think?
Well, in the system that enforces it, a couple weeks ago, I was listening to a show on NPR, and it was showing this long-term, I don't even know how they call it, trajectory. And what they were doing is it was this woman, she was African-American, and her kid was in preschool, and the kid was kicked out of school for something that the kid did, and she went weeks later to a barbecue.
I don't know.
And was
this.
Talking to all the other white moms, saying, "Oh my goodness, I'm so embarrassed. My sweet little boy, who's 4 years old, bit a kid and was kicked out." And another mom said, "That's weird. My kid bit too, but wasn't kicked out."
Uh-huh.
It started for her to unfold the bias in the system in the way that it was looked at, and
they
found that the statistics were so conclusive about kids. Young ethnic kids that had been kicked out and not used the same criteria as their white counterpart students ended up in the jail system, almost because it was like that kid was then destined down the road.
They treated him.
Yeah. And
dude, I have had interactions with police that were far more aggressive than Eric Garner. Like, there was one time when I got pulled over. And the cop was trying to get me on a DUI, and I had left a Christmas party. I was completely sober. And, you know, I hate to say this, but sometimes out here they'll read your plate and they'll sell the story to TMZ. So it's like, oh, I got the health guru on a DUI. So I got pulled over, and I was like, I was going the speed limit. I, you know, the whole thing. I was completely legit. Heidi had been drinking. And I was like, you're out of luck, bro. I'm totally sober.
You said that?
Oh, yeah. Because it happens to me all the time. On a weekend night, if I drive, it's like, oh, boom. Yeah, awesome. Because the presumption is maybe you had a glass of wine at dinner or whatever. And I was like, I'm sober. And he's like, oh, really? You swerved. I was like, I know I didn't swerve. And I know I'm sober. And he followed my finger. I was like, I will happily follow your finger. And we can play this all the way out. But I know what you're doing. And you're harassing me because of who I am. And I am stone cold sober. And when you detain me for an hour while my children are at home with a sitter that needs to leave, I promise you I'm not going to let this go lightly. So do whatever you need to do. Get your breathalyzer out. But I guarantee you, I am still, like, I've had those kinds of interactions where I'm like, do not treat me like this. There was another time where I called the police because my poor nanny had parked in front of someone's house, right? And you're totally allowed to park in someone's front of someone's house, just not someone's garage. Well, rich people don't want you to park in front of their house. So they'll put up signs saying, don't park in front of my house. But it's like, you don't own the road. That's not the law. Well, the city here is bankrupt, so we like to tow cars to make money. Well, I busted them towing her car, and they hadn't pulled it away yet. The car was legally parked. And I was like, you're not taking this car. It's legally parked on the road. It's not in front of the garage. Well, it is in front of the garage. I'm like, are you blind? So we go through the. So I call the police. I'm like, you can't take this car. It's legally parked. This is a matter of principle. And so I turn to my nanny, and I'm like, buddy, tell them what happened when you pulled up. And he goes, you can't talk to her. And I lost my mind. I was like, what did you say to me? And he's like, you cannot talk to her. And I go, hold on. I've committed no crime. I called you. My tax dollars pay your salary. You can't tell me who I can and can't talk to. I haven't committed a crime. I haven't done anything wrong. It's called the First Amendment. I didn't see four men tackle me to the ground and tell me I deserve to die because I wasn't listening to the cops. So, again, you can judge me and say, Jillian, you were way out of line. And you may be right. I'm not saying I was right or I was wrong. I'm saying I did more than Eric Garner did, and I'm not dead. And then it's like, oh, well, he was fat. That's why he died. And it's like, no one tackled me to the ground and put me in a chokehold. No one arrested me. So it's what you said, Andy. It's that study. It's like, this stuff is dangerous, man. You really got to pause with everything from a purchase to a relationship with another individual. Mm-hmm. It's like our preconceived notions and our biases are deeply pre-programmed. You got to throw all of that out. Every time you approach something, and I gotta say, go with your gut and let that guide you.
Yeah,
because these are dangerous games we're playing.
Yeah,
well said.
Wow.
I know. Sorry, I just am super upset.
And to think this whole show started with
Andy farting.
Andy farting
and puking foam.
And rescue and having a raccoon suckle on her
it was an armpit.
Hey, you know what we have to do
sick.
Here?
Everyone in unison.
Yes, Autumn, Jake. Andrea, Jillian, ready?
Yeah. Happy New Year!
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.